This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. So, Bernie Sanders today introduced a resolution in the United States Senate that says that, first of all, the Senate formally agrees with the intelligence community's assessment that Russia interfered in American and foreign elections, and that the Senate would also resolve to, quote, move aggressively to protect our election systems from interference by Russia or any foreign power, and that this must be, quote, fully implemented by the president, end of quote. Rand Paul objects, saying, this is crazy hatred of the president. This is crazy partisanship driving this. So, you know, let me get this straight. Bernie says, let's secure our election systems. Rand Paul says that's crazy partisanship. Over in the House of Representatives, they're trying to pass legislation to fund these grants that through 2019, pass legislation to fund these grants that would help the states secure their election systems. This is from today's Washington Post. The headline, it's by Erica Werner. The headline, House GOP refuses to renew election security funding as Democrats fume over Russian interference. Kind of tells the whole story, right? House Republicans plan to vote Thursday on a spending bill that excludes new money for election security grants to the states. Democrats want to continue grant funding through 2019. Well, that's pretty strange, but then the level of strange amps up considerably. Yesterday, or perhaps it was the day before, Donald Trump, in an interview with CBS News, said he was talking about James Clapper, who was the former head of the CIA, as I recall. He might have also been DNI, but he was the head of the CIA. He says, you know, Clapper wrote me a beautiful letter when I first went to office, and it was really nice. And then all of a sudden, he's gone haywire. This is Donald Trump speaking. All of a sudden, he's gone haywire because they got to him. And they probably got him to say things that maybe he doesn't even mean. End of quote from Donald Trump. So who is they? Well, Michael Scheuer over at non-intervention.com, his blog, and Michael Scheuer has been a guest on this program a number of times. Back during the Bush years, he wrote books about, he's a former CIA guy, and he wrote books about Osama bin Laden and how when he was on our program, as I recall, it was, you know, his concerns that the Bush administration was overreaching in their reaction to 9/11 and basically diminishing the rights of Americans. A position, by the way, with which I largely agreed, which is why he was on the program. So I haven't talked to Michael in, geez, I don't know how long. 6, 8 years, 10 years, something like that. But his blog today is interesting and troubling and may help us answer that question. Who is this they that Donald Trump is talking about? Because I think that Michael is reflecting, I mean, in this one blog is distilled a lot of the stuff that you will find at Breitbart and on Fox so-called news, and on right-wing hate radio, and over at Alex Jones's InfoWars site and whatnot. So Michael Scheuer writes, as this week's end, I think he means at this week's end, this is from July 14th, so this is like from 5 days ago. It seems likely that it is quite near time for killing those involved in the multiple and clearly delineated attempts to stage a coup d'etat against the legitimately elected Trump government and thereby kill our republic. So his opening sentence is, it's time to start killing people. Or it's quite near time for killing people. He writes, this week saw the alternative media, I'm assuming that's his phrase for what we refer to as the mainstream media, the corporate media, document nearly 300 incidents of violence against loyal U.S. citizens that have been perpetrated by Democrats and the domestic terrorists that the party and its financial supporters keep on their payrolls. Are we figuring out who they is yet? The week saw FBI agent Strzok brazenly lie to Congress, show his own detestation for everyday Americans, it's their smell, he says, and display facial and other physical quirks that appeared very reminiscent of a demented beaver, a drug addict, or a loyal Democrat. So we're filling in the blanks on they. The week saw on Friday the 13th, Special Counsel Mueller and his Democratic apparatchik lawyers indict 12 supposed Russian intelligence officers with a laughable amount of evidence pertaining to their reported involvement in the 2016 election. And he suggests that Mueller is doing this to screw up Trump's opportunity to meet with Putin. He says, finally this week, and he's got this bill of grievance, sort of like the Declaration of Independence did. They did this, and then they did this, and then they did this. He says, finally this week saw a significant and quickening advance toward the moment when those millions. Now, let me just pause this right here. Kristallnacht was over a decade in the making in Germany. The hard right in Germany that eventually came to be known as the National Socialist Party had been arguing for some time that there was a they among the German people, specifically the Jews. And Kristallnacht was the night that the volunteers, right, the well-armed citizenry of Germany, this was not the government of Germany that did this. This was average Germans went into the streets and smashed the windows of Jewish-owned stores. Back to Michael Scheuer. He said, finally this week saw a significant and quickening advance toward the moment when those millions of well-armed citizens who voted for Trump and who have been abused or wounded by Democrats, their Antifa thugs, and their thug civil servants for exercising their franchise to elect Trump cannot in good conscience patient for much longer. Or be patient for much longer. Fortunately, they have in hand a long and very precise list, they being those well-armed citizens who voted for Trump. Fortunately, they have in hand a long and very precise list of the names and photographs of those who hate and threaten them, their families, their way of life, their liberty, their livelihoods, and their republic. No self-respecting and determined to remain independent citizenry can let themselves forever be held hostage by thug civil servants like Strzok, Comey, McCabe, Page, and Rosenstein. Worshippers of tyranny like the Democratic members of Congress. I have to hand it to Michael. He says Democratic. He doesn't use the Democrat thing from Joe McCarthy. The Clintons, the FBI, and the Obamas. Apparent traitors like Brennan, Hayden, and Clapper. All of the mainstream media, and the tens of thousands of government-admitted and protected violent, criminal, and illegal immigrants. And he wraps up his rant. And as I said, you can read this over at non-intervention.com, Michael's blog. And I'm not attacking Michael. I'm pointing out here that this is the thinking that is going on that I think is leading to Trump saying they got to Clapper. He said, American patriots have so far, praise God, been remarkably disciplined in not responding to tyranny and violence with violence. For now, they must remain so, armed but steady. But the time for such patience is fast slipping away. Indeed, that patience is quickly becoming an obviously rank and self-destructive foolishness. If Trump does not act soon to erase the above-noted tyranny and tyrants, the armed citizenry must step in and eliminate them. It is, of course, far better if Trump does so, and I pray and believe he will, Michael writes. That said, the sheer, nay, utter joy and satisfaction to be derived from beholding great piles of dead U.S. citizen tyrants is not one that will be missed if Trump does not soon do the necessary to save the Republic. But if he fails, the citizenry must act to ensure that Hillary's predictive words are proven correct. If Trump wins, she apparently said, we will all hang. I know of no evidence that Hillary ever said that, which I think is why Michael said apparently. And there's some interesting comments to it. But, you know, setting aside, well, I don't know what you can set aside here, but let me make this clear. You can go on the internet and you can just, you know, read these sites, and what you will discover is that this is not unique to Michael's site. And these kinds of calls to action, these calls to violence. Who is the they that Donald Trump says got to Clapper? And what is this leading us to now? What do we do with this? I'm talking in a practical way as you know, people living in a democratic republic. Democrats whose suggestion is, gee, maybe we should join the other 33 countries in the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD countries. Why don't we join the other 33 countries and have a national health care system? Why don't we regulate the banks? Why don't we stop dumping poison into our air and water? And for these calls, these Democrats are called communists and socialists and enemies of the people, to say we should secure our election systems. Rand Paul says that this is hatred of the president, to say we should lock down our election systems. Is this a case of the ends justify the means? I mean, the Republicans seem to like rigged elections, right? Whether they're rigged by the Russians or whether they're rigged by Diebel.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Which is not to say that Diebel is necessarily rigging elections, but they may be putting out equipment that makes it relatively easy. Welcome back. So, you know, this Mark Sumner over at the Daily Kos. The headline, Donald Trump won't call Putin a liar, but he has plenty of names for U.S. intelligence officials. And this is, you know, from the CBS anchor Jeff Glor's interview with Donald Trump yesterday or the day before, Wednesday evening, last night. Glor, he's talking about Putin. He says, but he denies it. So if you believe U.S. intelligence agencies, is Putin lying to you? And Trump replies, I don't want to get into whether or not he's lying. I can only say I do have confidence in our intelligence agencies as currently constituted. Now, as currently constituted presumably means that he's gotten rid of those people that Michael was just pointing out. The, you know, John Brennan and Andrew McCabe and Jim Comey and James Clapper and Michael Hayden and, of course, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And then we go to Trump. He continues. He says, you know, Clapper wrote me a beautiful letter when I first went to office. It was really nice. And then all of a sudden he's gone haywire because they got to him and they probably got him to say things that maybe he didn't even mean. They being the liberals? I don't think that this is about, you know, Democratic plans for a national healthcare system. Although maybe it is. I mean, you know, there are right-wing billionaires who believe that that is the first step to fascism, to communism, excuse me, to, you know, the worst isms. You have the state of Georgia right now, which has totally insecure election systems, no paper trail, they're unauditable. They're all entirely touchscreen, the entire state. And the state is resisting lawsuit by Democrats to simply demonstrate that their system is secure and to take federal money to secure the system. And the Republicans who run Georgia are saying, hey, this system is just fine with us. It keeps electing Republicans. I mean, what do you do when you've got a political party that seems to be the recipient, the beneficiary of this kind of stuff, and they go, oh, hey, it's just fine with us. It's this, not a big deal. We're not concerned about election security. We keep winning the elections. You know, in those states where you've got good election security, like Oregon and Washington State, where it's entirely mail-in, every single ballot is a paper ballot. You learn that you're not on the voting rolls when your ballot doesn't arrive in the mail, which gives you plenty of time to call them up and say, hey, what the heck happened? Did I get purged? And when your ballot doesn't arrive in the mail, then you know, right? And you still have weeks to get one and send it in here in Oregon and in Washington State. And, you know, they look at that and they go, yeah, and Democrats keep winning in Washington and Oregon State, or Washington State and Oregon. I don't know, this is a conundrum. We'll be back. It's 22 and a half minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. So what's going on here? We've got a political party. You know, down in Georgia, the Democrats are suing the Secretary of State and saying you should take the federal money to make the Georgia election system more secure. Because Georgia is one of five states in which there is no paper trail. There are no paper ballots. Everything is done on touch screens. And it's just wildly insecure. And there's a pretty good-sized body of evidence to suggest that since 2002, 2004, elections have not been turning out in Georgia the way that the exit polls say they should, which is how we measure election fraud in other countries. And Georgia's saying, we don't need the money. Democrat, you know, the Republicans today are going to vote on a proposal in the House of Representatives to deny increasing funding for election security to the states. So here you have the Republican Party and Rand Paul saying, hey, any attempt to do so is simply proof that you hate the president. So you've got a political party that's apparently more than happy to take help in acquiring power from cranky right-wing billionaires. They're more than American billionaires. They're apparently more than willing to take help from, you know, cranky foreign autocrats, in this case, at the very least, Mr. Putin and possibly others, which, by the way, the Democrats are acknowledging. They're saying, you know, we need to lock down our systems to protect them from Russia and anybody else who wants to hack them. And I'm assuming that the Russians are saying, hey, we need to lock down our systems to keep the Americans out. I mean, this is just common sense. But you've got a party that's saying basically the ends justify the means. The religious right has been, you know, this was their argument for Donald Trump. He may be a bigot, he may be a misanthrope, he may be misogynist, he may hate women, he may grab women by the crotch, he may sleep with porn stars, he may, you know, party with hookers, but he's going to keep our tax-exempt status intact and let us involve ourselves in the political arena so that we can increase our personal power and wealth. This is essentially what the religious right is saying. It's the deal that they've cut. The ends justify the means. And now the Republicans are saying this. And in the background, we have these voices on the far right, the far right fringe, I would say, who are saying, is it time to start killing people yet? We'll be delighted to see piles of bodies of these people. These people being Democrats? Really? Is this where we're at as a country? do we do with this? Your calls after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's 28 minutes past the hour. We'll be back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And Michael Arpert's website, by the way, or Michael Scheuer's website, excuse me, is non-intervention.com. And thank you. So just FYI. And Republicans block the effort. This is pretty remarkable. This morning, the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, who are the two most senior Democrats on the committee, moved to request to subpoena the translator that was in the room with Trump and Putin. And every single Republican on the committee voted no. Every single Republican voted no. What is going on here? Mark in Valley, Washington. Hey, Mark. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
I've had this discussion with you with citizens owning AR-15s before, but what's going on right now, I surmise to you that we best think, rethink that, because I'll guarantee a large percentage of the Trump supporters are armed with equivalent-type weapons. And I got a funny feeling that there's going to be clashes in the streets with these people because the Republicans aren't doing anything.
Yeah, this is really, really dangerous stuff, Mark. You do not... You don't. The goal here is not to start a war. The goal here is to have a functioning republic, and
I agree.
And you know, I mean, basically, what you're saying is a call to arms. And I can't go there. I won't go there.
Well, they are.
I know they are.
So you better be prepared. I'm not saying that we got to start it. I'm saying be prepared.
I think this is, see, just like Scheuer is saying that he hopes that Trump deals with all these Democrats by presumably, you know, locking them up. He's talking about piles of dead bodies and stuff. I mean, this is kind of the Hitler, right, strategy, whatever.
Yeah.
I am hopeful that the high integrity or the portions of our government which still retain some integrity, you know, which would be the intelligence agencies, the FBI, the police departments and whatnot, will protect us because that's their job. That's why we created this government. And, you know, I get your concern, Mark, but, you know, that is not the solution. I'm telling you, that's not the solution. Michael in Imperial, California. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mr. Hartman. That article by Michael Scheuer is just terrifying. And I want to point out one hypocrisy of it. Okay, so are the people Michael Scheuer is trying to incite actually willing to murder, quote, millions of Americans, as he suggested, even if they are their own mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, and even their own living children? So here's the hypocrisy.
See, that's the reminder we need, Michael, is that we're all people here, including Michael and his friends who feel so aggrieved by Democrats. Back to you.
I agree. But here's the hypocrisy. So these people who say that abortion is wrong, just because their child who is now living believes against Donald Trump, they're willing to murder their own child who's actually living?
Yeah.
I just find that so hypocritical. It's not even funny. And this
well,
is scary stuff.
Some of them, you know, I mean, they have demonstrated a willingness to use violence. They, you know, Heather, what's her name? Heather Heyer was murdered in Charlottesville. You know, several abortion doctors have been murdered over the years. I mean, you know, these Tim McVeigh, you know, killed hundreds of people in Oklahoma City. It turns out that the shooter in Las Vegas was a right wing conspiracy guy. He thought it was time to bring on the revolution. I mean, it's not he killed a whole bunch of people and wounded over 500 of them. In fact, I think it's in the neighborhood of 1,000 now because the hotel is suing them to try to avoid liability itself. So, you know, it's yeah. Sean in Kanawha, New Jersey. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hi, Tom. You know, when does it get to the point where You know, this type of language and this type of writing goes beyond this argument, well, free speech. I'm sorry, the First Amendment does not protect somebody inciting a riot in this country, calling for the execution of people that disagree with you in this country is inciting a riot. And when do we get to the point where these people who publish these this type of writing can be arrested and prosecuted? This is inciting a riot. It's inciting violence, and it's a really scary time in our history where, you know, our nation is almost at the point of where, you know, we could have a civil war if this kind of stuff is taken seriously.
Yeah, and it is being taken seriously by people. I mean, look at the guy who showed up at the pizza parlor in Washington, D.C. with a rifle and started shooting because he thought that Hillary Clinton was running a sex ring out of a basement the building didn't even have a basement, by the way. Much less Hillary Clinton running a sex ring, child sex ring. But yeah, I mean, this is where, and that again was a story that started on in these same right wing fringe areas like Alex Jones's site and whatnot, and this is where it ends up. I mean, fortunately, that guy didn't kill anybody, but this is scary stuff. Sean, I agree with you, and I think that this is where we need to have strong institutions that have strong, we have to have, essentially these quasi-military institutions, which are the police and the FBI, that have strong civilian oversight by elected officials. And when the Republicans refuse to subpoena maybe we're conflating issues here. But when the Republicans refuse to have funding to secure elections in the United States, because, gee, that just seems to be working out just fine for us after all, you know? So what if the exit polls in Georgia consistently show Democrats winning, but the election results from the voting machines with no paper trail and unauditable always show Republicans? Hey, we like that. So what if the Russians hacked an election? We like that. So what if the Chinese helped out? We like that. So what if, fill in the blank, Saudi Arabia, Israel, some other country is funneling money into the United States to influence our elections through lobbying groups or front groups or whatever it may be. You know, as long as it keeps us in power, it's all good. There is a point at which I think that we all have to realize that the ends justifies the means is not a healthy direction to be going. And we'll be talking about that at some length with Jeff Charlotte in the third hour of our program today. He wrote the book The Family, and we're going to get back to that in the National Prayer Breakfast. Rich in Greenwood, Indiana. Hey, Rich, what's up?
I just heard that title and that author the other day, Charlotte's Family.
Yeah.
They're the ones that did the prayer breakfast from way back in 1930s. Anyway, I wanted to bring attention to a potential resource from way back in 2008. When I first found Free Speech TV, there was a little documentary that was in rotation called Free for All. Free for All 2008, directed and written by John Ennis, E-N-N-I-S. And he puts forward a theory and then gets factual information to fill in blanks about it, that it was specifically in Ohio, and it was something crafted through Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, and it was these one-issue voters that were anti-choice and combating Roe v. Wade, and they were heavily Catholic and, true believers, and they decided to wade in and cheat by goosing the machine code.
Mm-hmm.
They went after the votes with software, and as you have talked about before, there are flash drives that can infect a machine. And this was way back in 2008, looking at a previous state of Ohio's Secretary of State, Ken Blackwell.
Yeah, this was looking at the 2004 election. I remember this,
okay.
Rich.
Okay, well,
so your point.
I think that there's something to be said there.
Yeah.
And if you could please also look to the works that Stetson Kennedy did. He's the guy that wrote that book, I Rode with the Ku Klux Klan. He was the infiltrator, and he got the Superman radio program to take on the Klan and be this this informative, aren't these people incredibly stupid and foolish, and had their public support withdraw.
Yeah, Rich, I'll have to look into it. Thanks for the suggestion. Judith in Chandler, Arizona. Hey, Judith, what's on your mind?
Hi there, Tom. My thoughts about this, because it all is terrifying, to say the least. And both of them, I'm afraid, are pretty grim. I don't think these people are going to go away. I don't think, I guess back step, we need to see what happens in the midterms. If the Democrats take the House, then there might be some hope. But these people are not going to go away. They're true believers. And I've long felt that the country needs to split, because we've never really been united to begin with. And barring that, since this country, fortunately, for so long, has managed to escape the mayhem that happened in Europe over hundreds of years, we've never been through that, so we haven't had that experience.
Outside of the Civil War,
We had the Civil War, which unfortunately, I think, should have ended with our splitting, but did not.
Yeah, that's been Louise's theory all along, is that Lincoln's biggest mistake was he didn't say, okay, see you guys later.
Yeah, I think the Democrats need to say, see you guys later, because I don't think we can get the Republicans to go along. I don't think we can get that part of the country to go along. They never have. They never will. They want to have their own country.
But I think, Judith, without a hardcore right-wing infrastructure funded in large part by right-wing billionaires whose real goal is financial, to protect their oil industry and empire, I don't think much of this stuff would be happening. I don't think much of this stuff would be going on.
I agree with
and
that.
And Putin is an oilocrat too. Judith, I'm sorry. We're hitting the break. We gotta go.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with more of your calls and the news of the day in just a moment. And welcome back, Paul in New York City. Hey, Paul. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV.
Hi, how are you, Tom?
Great. What's up?
I got a question for you. Once we have this wave election and we put Nancy Pelosi in as president, who do you think we should get as a U.S. Attorney General to come in there and clean up K Street, all the lobbyists, and get Wall Street and get those oligarchs like the Koch brothers, who are committing crimes behind the scenes, just like Paul Manafort, just like Michael Cohen? Who do you think we should get? I mean, I do not want an Eric Holder or a Loretta Lynch. They're too weak. And Mike Papantonio, as much as I like him, he's not disciplined. He's all over the place.
Paul, where you and I disagree, and what I would suggest is the logical flaw in your question is the implicit question behind your question, which is who will save us. And I'm not a salvationist. I don't think that there's anybody out there who's going to save us. I think that we need to save ourselves. And the kinds of change that you're talking about, that kind of change is the kind of change that happened very rapidly in this country in the early 1930s when FDR became president. It happened very rapidly in this country in 1901 when Teddy Roosevelt became president. And it happened very slowly in the 1980s when Reagan became president. And what we're seeing right now is the culmination of this 30-year-long building of a conservative coalition, in quotes, of the anti-abortion people, the fundamentalist Christians, the gun people, bringing all these people together, the bigots, the haters, bringing them all together into one group and saying, okay, this is our group. We call ourselves the Republican Party. And I think that the answer to this is not to say, we need to get the perfect attorney general, or we need to get the perfect president, or whatever. The answer to this is to awaken the American people to what's actually going on, which is why I shared Michael's blog post with you, and to get the American people involved. I mean, in the last midterm election 8 years ago, or 4 years ago, we had, 36% of Americans showed up to vote or something like that? I mean, it was crazy. And that's my take on it, Paul. I'm concerned with the predicating assumption of your question. Am I making sense to you?
You're making a little sense. I just feel that people like the Koch brothers are committing crimes, and they need to be held accountable.
I don't think they're committing crimes. I mean, A, they've got a lot of lawyers. B, they're smart guys. What they're doing is legal. The problem is that the Supreme Court made it legal. It used to be illegal. I mean, after Nixon. I mean, in 1905, the Tillman Act was passed, which said that no corporation could contribute money or any kind of material support to any federal candidate for election. That was 1905. That got wiped off the books in 2010, in October of 2010, when Citizens United was handed down by the Supreme Court.
That's tough.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. So, you know, what I'm saying is we've got, you know, I don't see the Koch brothers as criminals. I don't see Scheuer as, you know, essentially a bad guy. I think that, you know, we need to have some real information out here. We've got a news media that's turned into infotainment all the time. And, you know, so you can pick, do you want right-wing infotainment or do you want left-wing infotainment? But massive amounts of what's actually going on are being deleted on both sides. And the stuff down the middle, you know, you tune in the big network news and you get stories about kids rescuing puppies. I mean, you know, it's, again, we're not well informed. We'll be back. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. Tom Harbin here with you. So what do we do with this information? Where do we go from here? Bill in Missouri. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind?
Oh, hang on.
I'm here, Bill. What's up?
Yeah, I got to get you off speaker. My phone. God.
Yeah, okay. Bill, sorry. We'll call back. Jay in Chicago. Hey, Jay, thanks for listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk. What's up?
Hey, Tom, man. Hey, I was just on my lunch break, and I was hearing on the news that the Republicans decided to not fund a bill to make our elections more secure.
It's That's correct.
Kind of mind-boggling. Well, how is that?
They also unanimously, in the House of Representatives, in the Intelligence Committee, unanimously the Republicans voted to not subpoena the translator who was in the room with Trump and Putin.
Well, how do we get around that? I know, obviously, voting in the, you know, the elections coming up, we can kind of turn some of that stuff around. But how is it that the American people don't understand or don't see what's kind of happening here? And my opinion would be that, you know, the Republicans are perfectly, most of them are perfectly fine with this situation. Like, how is election security a partisan issue?
Yeah. You know, FDR's vice president pointed out that in the New York Times, and you've heard me read this many times, that the American fascist is a deliberate poisoner of the channels of information. Well, you know, that assumed, Henry Wallace was assuming a certain amount of malice there. I'm not even assuming malice. We have reinvented the system by which we deliver news to people. We did this with, by and large, with the Telecommunications Act of 1996, but also with Ronald Reagan undoing the Fairness Doctrine in 1987. And as a consequence of that, we no longer are a well-informed populace. We no longer, you know, get good, solid news. And even the agencies that we turn to that we think of as nonprofit, like National Public Radio, are now being funded by right-wing groups to the point where they're regularly putting on people from the Heritage Foundation and the American Enterprise Institute and these other right-wing front groups for billionaire interests. And so, you know, we're not getting good, clean information anywhere because there's no longer an obligation by law to broadcast in the public interest. And so people are whether it's left-wing infotainment or whether it's right-wing infotainment, we're getting infotainment rather than news. And these news agencies, including the cable companies, they pick five or six of the top stories that will bounce in terms of viewership, that will attract eyeballs and thus raise advertising rates and thus make more money for the network. They pick those five or six stories and they repeat them over and over and over, hour after hour after hour, all day long. And massive amounts of what's going on get deleted. and, you know, just get ignored, get overlooked. And people are not well informed in this country, and it's a tragedy. But, you know, we've got to address this. We've got to, you know, we've got to figure out how to get past this and through this, and so that we're all sharing basically a common database of information. Jay, thanks for the call. I mean, these are tough questions. John in Medford, Oregon. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to point out that a recent poll that came out today said that 8 out of 10 Republicans support the way that Trump handled that press conference with Putin.
Right.
And I think that's clear evidence that the Republican Party has basically lost its mind. And I think that we Democrats really need to figure out whether we're ever going to be able to get along with Republicans.
I disagree. I know some of those people who probably were, you know, in that poll. And the problem isn't that they've lost their mind. It's not that they're crazy, and it's certainly not that they're stupid. It's that they're watching Fox News and they're listening to right wing hate radio. They're reading websites like Breitbart. They are the information that is being delivered to them is deliberately poisoning their minds on behalf of billionaire oligarchs like Rupert Murdoch, who is protecting his fellow billionaire oligarch Donald Trump.
I don't disagree with any of that. When I say that they've lost their mind, that's just a short way of saying what you just said. I guess the question is, what are we going to do about it? Because, I mean, at this point, how many more elections do we get to get stolen from us?
Yeah.
You know, what is it, 7 out of the last 8 presidential elections going back to 1992, you know, we've gotten more votes than the other side.
6 out of the last 7 presidential elections, yes.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. And yet at the same time, 2 of those times, you know, our guy wasn't in the presidency. And consequently, we've got Neil Gorsuch
right
there. You know, how many, and for that matter, now that I think of it, regularly, we get more Democrats vote for, or more candidates.
The Democrats in the House of Representatives represent over 55% of the American people. The Democrats in the United States Senate represent over 65% of the American people. And yet they're both in minorities. And that's because of gerrymandering and because of the small state, big state thing. So, yeah, John,
go.
Quickly,
John. That's what I was just trying to say. How many times do we take it in the short?
Well, we just, you know, we can't. You know, we had 3 million fewer people show up in the last election than voted in the Obama election on the Democratic side. Let's start there.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.